I think one of the really interesting things about this community is that we've had a lot of people from very different backgrounds in terms of what kinds of video games they're used to. We've got a lot of people who have been competitive Smash Bros. Players, a lot of people who have been competitive like 2D fighting game players, and then a lot of people who have just been big Kirby fans and have never really taken any fighting games super seriously.
Well, hi everyone. Welcome back to Kirby Conversations. I'm Sean Douglas. I'm here with Bridget. Hi, Bridget.
Hello.
And today we have a special guest on our panel, Lucy Hayes, also known as Winters, who is an active competitive player slash commentator in the Kirby Fighters 2 scene, as well as a co-owner of the Discord, also a player of a lot of other fighting games. And we thought we'd bring her on to talk about Kirby Fighters 2. So, hi, Winters.
Hello, thanks for having me.
I really appreciate you wanting to come on the show. I have a lot of questions about what's been going on in the Kirby Fighters 2 scene, because I recently learned just how much there is still like a committed player base who play this competitively, who are even modding the game to make it more conducive to competitive play, and still exploring the meta for it. And for a game that had kind of unassuming beginnings, it was initially leaked by accident before it came out, and it was developed during COVID. And you know,
in
isn't
about
a
6 months, yeah,
yeah. It's not a full priced Kirby game, right? It's one of those kind of experimental, kind of budget priced ones that come out where they like to try to play around with Kirby genres. I thought it was fun, and it didn't really, you know, have a lot of staying power. When it first came out, I think Nintendo was positioning it more as a fun party game, but not necessarily something to really appeal to the competitive, you know, scene out there. And so it's cool to see the way people adopted it and said, no, there's more to this. Because I remember playing it and feeling like, you know, they put a lot of effort into this. Like there's a legitimate fighting game here. It feels like if someone really wanted to dig into this.
I feel like that's the sentiment a lot of us had, yeah.
So I guess my first question for you is just, how did you get into fighting games? And how did you get into Kirby Fighters 2?
Wow, all right. So first of all, for fighting games, I've been competing in various fighting games, both like Smash Bros. And then like traditional fighting games for about 8 years now, starting with Smash 4. I got into competitive games. I'd already played a lot of casual Smash Bros. And I got into the competitive side just from really falling in love with Smash 4 Zelda as a character. For anyone wondering, no, she's not good. But I stuck with her for a long time. And I've played a lot of different games over the years. So when I saw Kirby Fighters 2 released, it was actually the same day that Rivals of Aether came out on the Switch, I think. Or at least announced it the same day. It might have released like the day after or the day before. But I was going to get both and start to get into Rivals of Aether because it's a game I'd heard a lot about, hadn't played much. And I saw this Kirby game. I was like, well, it's cheap. I don't have much to do. This was during lockdown from COVID. So I figured I'd pick it up. And I liked it more than I expected. Played some games with a friend who also bought it. And looked around online, like, hey, is anyone making a Discord for this? And so I found it right away. Someone had already made one, already had a few hundred members. And it was, while we do still have a scene for it today, it was incredible how big the scene was initially. And it was just, you know, there wasn't much else to do at the time. We were still kind of in full-out lockdown back in, I guess it was September of 2020, something like that. And I really liked the game, fell in love with a couple of the characters, and stuck with it for a long time.
Nice. So, like, how did you go from just being, like, someone who enjoyed the game to getting into more of the competitive side?
So, for Kirby Fighters specifically, that was pretty much immediate. That was a lot of, I think for Smash Bros. It was a very long process for me, kind of over the course of years, going from casual player to like playing more competitive rules, but still just playing with my friends, and then eventually going towards tournaments. But now I'm pretty much at the point where if I pick up a fighting game, I'm looking to see if it's interesting competitively. I picked up Kirby Fighters just kind of on a whim to see if it would be interesting enough to play for a few days, and then it ended up being my main game for about a year, as I liked it way more than I thought I would. But yeah, there wasn't really much of a transition there. I picked it up and right away was looking at, like, let's see if this could be a competitive game.
And I'm curious, because I'm not as versed on what makes a particular fighting game, like, very viably competitive.
Yeah.
And with Kirby Fighters, I see, like, a maybe on a surface level, like, maybe a more simplified Smash Brothers. So with that perspective in mind, like, exactly what are some of the things that maybe it does that Smash doesn't do, or that it has, like, its own flavor of, that makes it, like, competitive?
Yeah, so I think, so first of all, in terms of competitive, like, fighting games, especially for platformers, like Smash Bros. Kind of games, competitive scenes are generally almost always going to have items off and any sort of ridiculous stages off. So Kirby Fighters, the first thing I looked at was, like, all right, can you turn all the items off? Can you play one-on-one? And are there interesting stages without it all being just on one stage? Because we don't, contrary to what some of the memes about competitive players may tell you, we don't actually only want to play on one stage. We want to play on a variety of interesting stages that are still competitive. So like in Smash Bros, we play on Final Destination, but also Battlefield, Smashville, Town and City. A lot of the stages that have some variety but don't actively get in the way of the game, I think is a good way to say it. So Kirby Fighters has quite a few of that. We have a list of 7 stages that we use in the competitive rule set out of only like 20 in the game. So a lot of them are really good. And the characters have a lot more depth than I think I would have expected for a game where a lot of characters only have like 5 to 8 moves or so. As far as what it does differently from Smash, I think there's something interesting about how the movement is very uniform in Kirby Fighters, and therefore there's not the inherent difference, because in Smash Bros. Almost all the time, the fast characters are going to be the better ones. There's exceptions here and there. You'll have occasionally a slow character who's just so strong that they still end up being good. But for the most part, every character moves differently, and that's like one of the main defining features of how good a character can be in Smash Bros. And in a lot of like platform fighters. Kirby Fighters, there's a handful of characters who move differently, but almost everyone has universal run speed, universal air speed, and their movement options, if they have any, just come from their attacks. So if you have a dive kick, or if you have a dash attack that moves you forward really far, things like that. And I think what makes Kirby Fighters an interesting game competitively was the character variety, despite having so many universal attributes. Every character feels super unique in Kirby Fighters, and a lot of them are really fun. And despite having like 4 or 5 characters that are just really ridiculously good, basically every character is viable competitively, although some are a lot more work than others.
Yeah, it is really cool how much they fleshed out each power to feel like such a unique character. Like maybe if people aren't familiar with this game, they'd think like, oh, it's a fighting game where every character is just Kirby. But
yeah,
they're really different. Like, I mean, like Archer can crouch, but then also crawl behind the fake mm-hmm. bush. And like, they all like do their own unique things that other powers can't do. And I know Sakurai was influenced a lot by fighting games when he was first expanding the movesets for the powers in Kirby
right.
Superstar. So it actually like does feel like a really natural evolution to take a lot of the inputs that were already there. And a lot of the ways that the characters kind of moved and interacted that felt kind of fighting game-esque initially. It just seemed like it was just kind of a matter of time before we started getting something closer and closer to a competitive Kirby fighting game.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a good point, because I think a lot of Kirby abilities have been influenced by fighting games in their design, especially obviously Fighter Kirby is heavily based on Ryu and Ken from Street Fighter. And you see that in Kirby Fighters with like Fighter being basically just a straight up copy of Ryu as to the best of their abilities while also being Kirby, which I think is really funny. And so you have like Fighter has, you know, a fireball, an uppercut, and a Tatsu, like all the things you'd see from a Shoto in a regular fighting game. But then you also have characters like Magalore, who's just really doing his own thing, but it still works in the context of the fighting game. And I think it's really cool that they managed to combine a lot of characters who have standard fighting game influence with some of the more outlandish Kirby abilities and buddies, as they call them, the other characters that aren't Kirby. And it ends up working out pretty well that no one is like... Well, I think there are some characters that are significantly better than the others. It there are still a lot of unique characters that are completely playable, like in the competitive scene.
Now, I know they have also, they as in like you and the other players, have put together this community edition now.
Yeah.
That supposedly takes the foundations of the game, right? And then makes it more competitive by balancing certain powers, giving them new abilities or new attributes. I think it adjusts more of the stages too, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Community Edition has been a really fun project that we've been working on for the last couple of years. We had this modder who goes by the tag Furubi, and she came into our Discord pretty early on, like, hey, I've modded Kirby games for years. I know a lot about how the code works and how to interpret like the information that's there. I'd love to help out with whatever projects we have going. And over time, her and one other person have started working on modding this, and a group of maybe 10 to 15 of us have helped on getting the ideas together for how we want this to work. And our goal with Community Edition was to create a game that's more balanced, but also without just like, okay, we're going to make the good characters worse and the bad characters better. We wanted to really give all the characters a new identity and really flesh them out more in depth. Because as much fun as I think Kirby Fighters is, we all kind of agree one of the weaknesses is just the relative lack of options to a lot of other games. And in a game where you have like variable numbers of moves, it is difficult sometimes when some characters have 4 or 5 moves, then you have like Meta Knight has 12 and Magalore has like 10 or 11. So what we wanted to do is take the game that we all really like as a foundation and then add in a lot of new stuff for the kind of lesser characters that are in the game. And then instead of taking the top tiers and making them worse, we just want to rework them and make them a little more fair while also still giving them new and more interesting options. You know, we didn't want Magalore and Water to be the way they are in the base game, but we don't want people who play those characters to play the modded version and go, oh, my character's just worse now. We want them to go, oh, my character has new options and a different style now with some new moves. So I think it's not technically released as a 1.0 version yet, but we have a playable version that's available online. Our Discord has a full tutorial for how to set it up, and we can help people do that. And it's pretty nearly done as far as the first wave of everything we wanted to do for the game.
Oh, that's amazing. Sounds cool. In order to play this also, I was curious, because I know, I guess this is a Switch game and it would have to be emulated mm-hmm. to some degree. Did recent events regarding the emulator affect this in any way? Or
I'm not super sure yet. However, there is a way to play. Like, you can play it either on a modded Switch or on an emulator. So I'm not 100% sure how much the Yuzu issues will affect it. But most of us who've played it on an emulator have been on Ryujinx anyway. Yuzu's online, while better for the games where it does work, isn't compatible with Kirby Fighters. So to be able to play it online, we had to use Ryujinx anyway, which is not ideal, but it does work. Mm-hmm. And that's where more of the emulation is anyway. So I don't think it'll be a big deal for us specifically.
Are you at all concerned that Nintendo would ever try to strike down this project?
I don't think we're big enough for that. But we're, you know, we're not really breaking any rules anyway. You know, people have ripped their own copy of the game, and then modding the game in and itself shouldn't really be illegal. But also, you know, we're not charging any money for this, so we're not making any money from that. And we're not the biggest project. This is a game that they released and then completely forgot about. If they tell us that we're infringing on their profits of a Kirby Fighters 3, we won't believe them. For the most part, I just don't think we're big enough to have to worry about that yet.
I feel like it's very rare for HAL to strike down Kirby-related projects, except for that one time that they went after some artists who are doing some strange adult art with Kawasaki. That's the only time in the news I've heard of HAL really going after something.
Yeah, we are not doing anything inappropriate with our good friend Kirby, so...
Yeah, that's no great. No unseemly Kawasaki DLC.
Yeah. Oh, is there actually additional
but...
Oh yeah, I was gonna ask if there's
we don't have
other
the technology
characters
to add characters yet. We would love to. I'm not sure how realistic it is in the moment. I know our modders have been working on getting to the point where that's a possibility, but we'd probably want to finish the last few things that we wanted in the base version, and then maybe if the team has more time in the future, we could add more characters if it's possible.
That's cool.
I, for one, would love to play Marx in a fighting game. I think it would be really funny.
Yes, I was going to say. Mm-hmm. I would love that.
And how closely are you involved in the decisions around the balancing and, you know, other decisions in the community edition?
Yeah, so I have like no like tech skills as far like technological skills as far as like actually doing the modding, but I've certainly been one of the main members of the team talking about balance decisions and what characters we want to be getting new moves and how they should work and the frame data of these new moves, all that kind of thing. So I've been one of the people more involved in planning and setting up what we want to do, but I am not the one physically doing the work because I don't know how.
I do like, I've liked a lot of the things that I've seen in like the trailers for it and stuff, but I particularly liked how Waddle Dee's spears stay stuck on the ground for a little bit longer, and you can like combo off of them by hitting someone into the spear and then they bounce back to you and then you can hit them again. There are a lot of really creative
that
decisions.
That is my favorite
thought,
character
with these
that we've made. Yeah. Waddle Dee, the new bandana Waddle Dee in Community Edition is definitely my favorite of the characters that we've done so far. So in the base game, I play Bomb and Parasol. Bandana D is just not that interesting in the base game. He's really just one move. He's got a good jab, it's very big, it's very safe, and he doesn't do anything else. Everything else is really bad. So that was one of the main characters we knew we needed to completely rework, because he has so little going on in the base game. And someone came up with the idea to have the spears stick in the ground, and that was really where it all took off. So now Bandana Dee is like a setup character. He can throw these projectiles that are very underwhelming in the base game, but now in Community Edition, if you dodge them, there's a spear in the ground that he can use to set up for kind of a more traditional fighting game kind of zoner approach. You see a lot of those trap-based characters where they set things up on different parts of the screen. So now we have Bandana Dee, who acts more like a BlazBlue character, and it's really cool to see how well that worked out in the end. That's who I've played most of the time when I've been able to play Community Edition.
It sounds amazing, and I'm wondering if you think... I know sometimes developers will catch notice of like projects like these and maybe sometimes take into account some of these... additions. Do you see like a future for Kirby Fighters, considering we now have like a second Kirby Fighters game?
I didn't even know there was a Kirby Fighters 1 until they announced Kirby Fighters 2. When I saw the release trailer for Kirby Fighters 2, and I was like, I had two reactions. My first thought was, wow, later today already? And then my second thought was, wait, there's a Kirby Fighters 1? When was that? So I didn't even find out about Kirby Fighters Deluxe until this game was announced. I feel like it's unlikely that we would get like a long-term series of these games, but at the same time, I never would have predicted that this game would exist in the first place. So it's certainly a possibility. And if somehow there is one and they take some of our ideas into account, I would be very, very excited.
Nice.
So what is it like to be a competitive player in this scene? If someone were like, I want to play this and really start getting into it, are there certain events that they should know about? Are there locals at all for this? Like,
not really?
where do people find matches? And you know, what kind of maybe events should they be considering looking into?
So pretty much everything in the scene goes through our Discord at this point. We have over 1,000 members. We don't have enough of a local scene anywhere for offline events. If we did, it would have been probably couple years ago in Boston, because a lot of the Boston area Smash Bros and FGC scene got involved in this early on. We were talking about having KF2 locals in the Boston area at one point, but just never quite had enough people. We've only done it once or twice. Almost all the tournaments are online, and they run on kind of a, at this point, whenever people want to do them basis. For a long time, we had like 2 to 3 tournaments a week in the Discord, and we just don't really have the demand for that these days. But we still have active TOs who are trying to run events whenever people will enter them. And we still have pretty active matchmaking in our Discord. So if you're looking for matches and join the Discord, it's pretty easy to find someone most times a day.
Yeah, I think I've heard of it sometimes, like, at Smash events, it'll be like, maybe there's a table of people playing Kirby Fighters 2 or something, like, here and there. But it didn't seem like there was maybe a set space where people meet up in person.
One time I went to, I think it was Anime Boston, and two people had set up a single SNES and were doing Samurai Kirby. So that was exciting for me. That's awesome. That's a real early competitive Kirby scene.
The original.
Yeah.
Kirby Fighters Zero.
Yeah.
That would be very intense, though, to play that on a competitive level with, like, actual money on the line.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
If they were, like, Capcom Cup for $1 million, but it was all just, like, Samurai Kirby.
I'm out. Forget it. I'm real bad. My mother beats me in that game. She's really good for some reason.
It's an intense game.
Yeah.
And, like, what are, like, the prize pools, just out of curiosity?
So we don't have, like, a whole lot of money going into this game. We don't really do, like, paid entry brackets or anything, but fairly often someone will, like, throw in $50 for a tournament and say, like, top three payout. Like, come here at this time, we'll play an online bracket. We've had prize pools as big as, like, a few hundred dollars a couple times. At this point, I would not expect that to happen too much anymore. And the game's been out for about 3.5 years now, and most scenes that are this size kind of die out by then. I think it's really cool that we do still have an active scene that's still playing, but it's much smaller than it was, you know, in the first few months, for sure. The first few months, we had weeklies where we had 30-plus entrants, like, every week. And now it's more of, like, once in a while we get 8 people together for a bracket. But sometimes, you know, once, maybe every couple months, we get a bigger event planned. Someone will add in a prize pool. We'll have maybe up to, like, $100 or so for a prize pool, pay out to the top 3 or 4, and get as many of the people who maybe played the game a lot and then kind of fell off, get people to show back up once in a while to keep playing the game.
Nice. And that actually sounds kind of on par with a lot of other classic fighting games that are doing more just kind of Discord-based things.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a Discord fighter in the traditional sense of the word.
Now, say people listen to this podcast and think, now that sounds exciting. What are some tips for if they want to get into Kirby Fighters?
Pick a top tier. So, as much as I say that this game is, like, pretty well balanced, and it is to the point where, like, every character has some sort of competitive results, there are definitely, if you are playing Magalore, Yo-Yo, Water, or Meta Knight, you're gonna have an easier time than anyone else. That being said, we have had new people show up within the past year or two and pick some of the lower to mid-tier characters and do pretty well. I mean, I was ranked top 5 at one point, and I certainly don't play good characters, so anything's possible. But I think really you just want to come into the Discord and play the game. We have a lot of people who are super willing to teach newer players. We love when people pick up our game and want to get better. And we have a lot of really good fighting game players who have dedicated a lot of time to this game. So I think there's no substitute for just finding people to play with and getting experience playing the game as far as getting better.
Can people be in the competitive space and not use the community edition? Like, if people are playing from their regular Switches, is that still an option?
The vast majority of our tournaments are still on the base game.
Okay.
Community edition, as far as, like, online play, is locked to you either play on a modded Switch with someone else on a modded Switch or on emulator with someone else on emulator. And the emulator netcode's not great, and it requires a really good computer to not, like, drop frames and run badly. So the online on the regular game is where we have most of our tournaments. We'd love to have more community edition tournaments, but it's just not super practical yet.
So tell us some stories about your your exploits in the Kirby Fighters 2 world.
Oh, let's see. there's been quite a lot. We have had... I think one of the really interesting things about this community is that we've had a lot of people from very different backgrounds in terms of what kinds of video games they're used to. We've got a lot of people who have been competitive Smash Bros. Players, a lot of people who have been competitive like 2D fighting game players, and then a lot of people who have just been big Kirby fans and have never really taken any fighting games super seriously. So I think one of the most interesting points in Kirby Fighters history was a few months into the game, we had this guy join our Discord under the tag P47, and I think a couple of people had like met him in some other Kirby-related Discords, but no one really knew who he was or anything, because he wasn't a competitive player in anything. He had played a little bit of Smash Bros., but not really on a competitive level. And he came into our Discord, got third place at his first tournament, and then won his next 10 tournaments.
Wow.
I think he dropped one or two sets total in that time. So a lot of our best players have actually been the people who have been like big Kirby fans deciding to get into the fighting game rather than fighting game players getting into the Kirby game.
Cool.
I think towards the end of that streak, which didn't end, by the way, he just stopped entering things. There was a set that where he went to a game 18 in grand finals, I believe, or maybe it was only game 9 on the first set. So we play a lot of fighting games, do like 2 out of 3, and then later in the bracket, 3 out of 5. Mm-hmm. Our Kirby Fighters is very fast, so we start at 3 out of 5, and then if we have time, we run 1st to 5 for the top 3 or top 8 or whatever, so like 5 wins out of 9. And at one point during this streak where no one could beat P47, a good friend of mine who goes by the tag Nuggets, I've known him in the Smash scene in Boston for years, Nuggets really challenged him one day, and it went to the last hit in game 9 in a grand finals, and P47 used an Ultra Sword. He's a Magalore player. Ultra Sword, probably the only move of Magalore's that is considered to be very, very bad. And P47 managed to catch Nuggets shielding on the top platform of a stage, knock him off the platform, because in shield you won't take damage, but you will get pushed back by certain moves, and knock him into the exploding apple to end the set. And I think that was widely considered to be one of the most exciting finishes to any tournament we ever had. We were all just losing our minds on that one.
Do you have a video of that somewhere?
Yeah.
It's somewhere on my YouTube channel, yeah. That was streamed. I was streaming that event. I'd have to go through my YouTube channel to find it, but it's definitely in there somewhere.
I like the setup, too, of like using the apple with the sword.
Yeah, I would say that apple is probably the best move in the game. Magalore's gem apple explodes frame 1 when you detonate it. And for anyone who's not familiar with fighting games, it is incredibly rare to have a frame 1 option. We measure time in frames, because that's the minimum unit of time, so we don't measure in, like, parts of a second, we measure by a frame, which is 1/60th of a second. Magalore's gem apple detonates the frame that it starts. So, it's like Snake's C4 in Smash Bros., but that's, like, frame 20 or so, and then Magalore's is frame 1. And it also has a hitbox while he's throwing it.
Wow.
So, that is pretty widely considered to be the best move in the game.
Makes sense that Magalore is probably a strong character.
Yeah, Magalore is pretty insane. I think the top 4, as far as the order in which you place them on a tier list, is pretty debatable. Meta Knight is kind of the consensus number 1 character. He just kind of gets to do everything and is also Magalore's worst matchup, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And the others at the top tier would be Magalore, who just kind of gets to do everything. Water, who's got an insane combo game because of that dash, because his dash has a hitbox. And then Yo-Yo, who is maybe the most interesting. This is kind of a tangent, but I think it's an important part of Kirby Fighters lore. So Yo-Yo, as a character, first of all, he's in the game's code as a song in addition to a character. This doesn't affect anything, it's just funny. If you look in the song files, you'll find Yo-Yo in there.
Huh.
But as a character, so he has a mechanic, like a turbo mechanic, where he can cancel his moves into each other during the last few frames. And this is not what makes him very good. This just gives him a combo game. Without it, he wouldn't be very good offensively. However, this game was programmed in 6 months, and it shows sometimes. And in this game, hit stun, only when you get put into tumble, is the same state as the end lag of a move. And that's a lot of technical terms, so to simplify what that means, it means that Yo-Yo can cancel his hit stun, like when you hit him with a move, up to 10 frames early. So this character would already be very strong, but he also just gets to leave combos, like, across the board. You like, almost no characters have real combos that work against Yo-Yo. He can just leave.
Wow. Well, I'm a big fan of Yayo, so I'm happy to hear Yayo's really good.
Yeah, that character made me pick up like 6 different characters in an effort to not just quit playing the game.
Yeah, I think in Injustice 2, doesn't Aquaman have something where he like wets like his body in a way,
yeah,
so he can like escape combos faster?
I haven't looked that much into Injustice 2, but I have seen that character pull some criminal things.
I think that's more or less what the, I mean, I've played Injustice 2, but like I think that's how that water move works. But it sounds like Yo-Yo just like always has that buff.
Yeah, it's all the time. The only restriction is that the move has to put you into tumble, so like a quick multi-hitting move like Meta Knight's shuttle loop won't activate it, but almost everything in the game puts you into tumble, and the things that don't almost never combo. So if you have a character like Parasol, for example, who's one of my characters, Parasol's dive kick usually lets you combo out of it. Against Yo-Yo, it is negative on hit. Yo-Yo can move before you can, so Parasol has to block, or else he gets hit by the jet by like a jab or a up B or whatever else Yo-Yo wants to do.
Whoa, scary.
It's crazy to imagine that in any other fighting game, too.
Oh my god. In any other fighting game, the character would be banned.
Yeah.
And in this game, we're not even sure if he's the best. It's like a controversial opinion that I think he's first or second. Most people would probably put him like second or like third on the tier list, maybe even as low as fourth. But the fact that it's even debatable for a character who's got that as a mechanic to maybe not be the best character is so funny.
Oh no, I was just going to say, it really speaks to how unique Kirby Fighters feels, huh?
Oh yeah, this is unlike any other game I've played for sure.
And sometimes those like weird inconsistencies or wrinkles are part of what gives the game a lot of personality and gives people so much to dig into and explore.
It is, although I will say we did remove that in CE. That once we figured out how that worked in the programming, we did get rid of it in the mod.
Yeah.
Well,
the character is still very good. Just doesn't cheat anymore.
Do you have any stories about your experiences with the game that are in person with other people, or ways in which the game has affected your life potentially like outside of just the boundaries of the game?
Yeah. So, let me try to think about how I should best answer that. So I have very few experiences playing this game offline, really just with like 2 of my friends who I already knew through Smash Bros. However, a lot of the people I've met online have become very good friends of mine. And one of them introduced me to Guilty Gear as a series. Guilty Gear is another 2D fighting game series, Guilty Gear Strive being the latest one. And I had never played a Guilty Gear game before playing Kirby Fighters. But my friend Theo, who is like kind of co-runs the Discord with me, is primarily a Guilty Gear player who was just playing Kirby Fighters for a while. And after a while of being in the Discord, he ended up teaching a bunch of us the older Guilty Gear games, Plus R, and then later Exord. And now that's become one of my main series. And I've met a ton of people through going to the locals in my region and playing that game both online and offline. And that I don't know that I ever would have really gotten that far into it if not for Kirby Fighters and meeting Theo and a lot of his Guilty Gear friends. But it really kind of changed the course of like how I approached competitive games and led to me focusing more on 2D games over Smash Bros, which is ironic because Kirby is definitely more in the Smash Bros style. But yeah, I've made a lot of really good friends through this game, more so over the internet than in person, but it has really affected my life quite a bit.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
A true story, I was named after a Guilty Gear character.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that Guilty Gear character. She's pretty great.
Yeah.
Your family predicted awesome. This character. They invented the name Bridget.
We all know that. Yeah. Shout out to Dice K for inventing the name Bridget.
Yeah, I'm a big Guilty Gear fan too. And it's fun to see the crossover between these things, how someone can be like sort of using a lot of the skills they get from one game and applying it to another, even when it's like translated in a really different way.
Mm-hmm. For sure. We have a running joke that we're actually just the Guilty Gear Discord, because that's we play that game as much as we play Kirby at this point.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought I saw some Guilty Gear references on the Discord.
Oh yeah, there's a screenshot of a message I sent years ago that still gets reposted all the time that just says, please keep Guilty Gear content to the Guilty Gear channels, and in parentheses, that's all of the channels. So we are big Guilty Gear fans in Kirby Fighters 2 land.
Maybe there could be a guest character then in the community edition.
Oh, we have already looked into putting Soul Bad Guy into community edition. I don't know that we have that close to being ready, but there have certainly been some ideas and some PowerPoints of how we would do it.
I'm imagining these like military style PowerPoints that have tons of interlocking slides and...
Oh, we have so many PowerPoints. It's a crucial part of the Kirby Fighters 2 server experience. Anytime we've had meetings about making Community Edition work, people make these like elaborate PowerPoints that we end up not even really looking at a lot of the time, but that's like where our discussions get started. And it's been a big part of our experience.
And then I think I do want to explore more topics outside of just Kirby Fighters 2 while we have you here for our second act. But I did have one more question kind of in this space, and we can go back to Kirby Fighters 2. I'm sure we'll return to it, you know, more so in our conversation. But I was wondering if you had any advice for people who are really into a particular niche game. Maybe they don't know a lot of other people who play it or anyone else who plays it, but they want to try to start getting a scene together for it. What would you recommend they do?
So I think the number one recommendation I would have is that if it's a fighting game or even just tangentially related to a fighting game, if you have fighting game locals near you, show up and bring the game with you. Fighting game players are willing to try almost anything, and it is very easy to get even just a handful of people together to play a game. And all of a sudden, if you've got, you know, 4 to 6 people showing up to play your game every week, now you have a scene. And odds are you're not the only person in the world who plays the game, so look online, see if there's a Discord that exists. If not, maybe make one and start to publicize it in fighting game related spaces. Again, I'm mostly assuming this is related to fighting games. I don't have much experience with a whole lot of other things, but I can say from experience that fighting game players are willing to try almost anything, and I think that's where people will often have the most success, and it is certainly easier if you've got offline local events in your area.
Yeah, I always think it's exciting to be like at a fighting game event or something, and you see the people that have like some niche game maybe you've never heard of, and there's like, you know, 6 or 8 people huddled around a system that someone brought, and maybe they brought their own CRT TV or something to play it. And it's like, these are people that maybe just communicate on Discord, maybe like rarely ever see each other or have never met in person, yet they all came to this spot together to do this thing.
Yeah, one of my main fighting games is called Sailor Moon S, and it is a Sailor Moon-based fighting game released in 1994. it's the first fighting game made by Arxis. Before they made Guilty Gear or BlazBlue, they made Sailor Moon S. And I play that at Boston Weeklies with like as many as like 10 to 12 people sometimes. And it is a wonderful game that we've gotten a lot of people into just by having it at locals.
Nice.
Yeah, I think I've seen people playing that in person.
It's so good. It's so much better than it has any right to be.
I love Sailor Moon. That's very exciting.
It's very cute. I'm glad there's such a cool game around it.
Yeah.
Bridget, did you have any other questions?
I guess for me, as someone who doesn't play that deeply, I have like basic knowledge. Like when I play Smash, I know like, you know, a jab is faster than like a smash attack, and that's how you get people. And you know, I know people have things where they start a combo or whatever. So I get that this game, I don't know, I guess I thought games that were fighting games would maybe vary a lot in ways that would maybe be fundamentally different from each other, but I think they share a lot, so probably not. I think maybe if you get into Kirby Fighters, you could probably expand and get into probably anything, right?
Absolutely. We've had quite a few people who have, like, this has been their first competitive game, and then just by kind of existing around a lot of us fighting game players in the Discord, they've picked up Guilty Gear, or they've picked up Smash Bros, or they've picked up whatever other random games. I've gotten quite a few of them to play Sailor Moon. Wow. And again, shout out to Theo, because he's the one who got me into that game in the first place. But, like, there's definitely a lot of concepts that overlap. I would say there's a pretty big divide between platform fighters and traditional fighters. And one of the things that's so cool about Kirby Fighters is it kind of is in between the two. Because it is a platform fighter in like the way you move around and the way the stages are, but it has health bars rather than percent and stocks. So Kirby Fighters is a very rare game that is somewhat of a blend of platform fighter and traditional fighter mechanics, even if it leans more toward the platform side.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, I like how it's very unique even within, because platform fighters themselves are, other than Smash for so long, now it's, you know, there's so many to choose from. And it's nice to see that even in that space, Kirby Fighters manages to stick out in its own way.
It's really unlike anything I've ever played.
Yeah, I've always thought that. I know when it first came out, a lot of the reviews were pointing out that it was a lot like Smash Brothers, but I was thinking, like, it's really not that much like Smash Brothers.
Yeah, not as much as a lot of the other platform fighters that release, I think.
Yeah, given how many are out there and how it, like, in a way, Sakurai kind of invented almost a subgenre of fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's... I'm sure you could go back and find other things that were kind of similar, and there's obviously been plenty of... He didn't invent the idea of fighting on platforms, but the certain format of having your kind of designated button for your normals and your designated button for your specials and things. Mm-hmm. And in that sense, it has become such a kind of template for other games that it's like, well, Kirby Fighters 2 is definitely part of this constellation of games that have similar mechanics, but other games are more similar to Smash Brothers than Kirby Fighters 2 is.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, on that note, let's move on to Act 2, where there were some other games I was curious to hear your thoughts on. Mm-hmm. I know that it looks like from online that you got really into Octopath Traveler 2 recently.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like you thought very highly of that. And I haven't played it, but I've played some of the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I also played just some of the first one. I got up to getting all the party members, and then I was like, several hours in, and I was like, oh, that was satisfying, but I think I'm done.
Yeah.
Is the second one sort of like more, like you really gotta finish it, or?
I've heard it's quite good.
Octopath
1 was very good. I did end up finishing it, but I didn't the first time. Like, I tried to play it years ago. I got maybe 30 hours in and was maybe halfway through and just kind of fell off. And then fast forward about 3 or 4 years, I tried again and got most of the way through and got stuck. Finally, this year in January, I was watching AGDQ, as I often do, and there was an Octopath 2 run. And I was like, you know, I liked that first game. I should really go back and finish that and then play the sequel. And so I finished the first one. It was really good. I liked it a lot. But the second one, I went into the second one kind of unsure if I would find the characters as enjoyable, because I think that was my favorite aspect of Octopath 1, was the characters were very memorable to me. But I was just blown away by Octopath 2. It was even better in really every way. I think it outclassed the first one. The combat is more interesting, the stories were more compelling, and the characters were just incredible. I think already... Even though there may be some recency bias in this, I think Casty from Octopath 2 has already become one of my top three or so favorite fictional characters of all time. And there is just so much in that game that really stood out to me on such a deep level.
Oh, that's so cool, because like, I felt the first game was good. I didn't quite finish it, but I kept hearing... I thought it was good, but I keep hearing such good praise of the sequel. I feel like more compelled now to try it out.
I certainly recommend it. It is also unrelated to the first one story-wise. You do not have to have finished the first one to play the second one.
Oh, good.
I wanted to just because I was fairly close already. I was only maybe a few hours away at that point when I wanted to get back to it. If you're worried about the time commitment of playing, you know, two whole games, because they are long, you don't need to play the first one to understand the second one. There's occasionally very vague references to it, but it's almost entirely unrelated stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to have to put that one on the list. Mm-hmm.
What are some of the other things about the game that led to it leaving such an impact on you?
So I think like for a game to really stand out in my mind, the story has to be the most important thing. You know, because if I want good gameplay, I'm going to go play a fighting game. I play enough of those. So if I'm playing single player games, I want the gameplay to be fun, but the story really has to grab me and get me to pay attention to it. I'm a huge Fire Emblem fan for that reason. I'm a huge Zelda fan. And the story is right from the start where... fascinating. And I think that's something that's so cool about Octopath for anyone who hasn't played it. As the name implies, there are 8 different characters that are like your main story characters. And each one has their own different, like, distinct story. And then as this game goes later, the stories overlap more and more until they get to one final thing where all eight of them are involved. And I think right from the first, like, get recruiting everyone and just getting through everyone's beginning of their stories, I was already hooked and I just wanted to see how all of them kept going. I think Casty's story was the most compelling to me. She wakes up on a ship with amnesia and knows nothing except her name, basically. It's not a new, you know, trope or idea to have a character who kind of forgets everything and remembers it one at a time, but I've just never seen a game handle it that well and have such a fascinating story going on around it.
Is the combat similar to the first game? What are some of the additions?
Yeah, so it's the same basic battle mechanics. They reworked some of the classes as far as what moves, what spells are with what class. And the characters also all have their own unique, it's called latent power, where they have like a unique ability they can charge up over time. And they vary wildly. It might be anything from Throne gets to attack twice in a row, and that, or like Hikari and Ochette both just have like a super powerful attack they can use once in a while. Casty gets to craft something because she's the apothecary. She gets to concoct something without using up materials. So if you get only like one or two of something really important, you can actually use it fairly regularly using the latent power as long as you don't run out. So I think they just added a lot of depth to what I already thought were pretty interesting JRPG combat mechanics, and then also gave each unique character their own, like, their own specific things. There's even extra spells in addition to the latent power. There's just extra things each character gets on their own that are unique. And I think they did a really cool job of incorporating the gameplay with the story, which is a very hard thing to do in games like that, I think. And I really liked the way they make all the characters feel very unique and not just like you're slotting the same jobs onto the same characters to do sort of like running through the motions.
Neat. Yeah, I do want to try that at some point. I thought the first one was fun. I don't have it myself. I was playing it with my brother and mm-hmm. I kind of experienced it a little vicariously through him, playing it sometimes with him and sometimes just hearing him talk about it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's definitely one I want to check out at some point.
Yeah, same.
Awesome. Yeah, I highly recommend it. Currently at the top of my list of recommendations.
Cool. What other recommendations do you have?
Let's see. So as far as single player games go, as I mentioned, I'm a huge Fire Emblem fan. And my favorite is actually the most recent Warriors game, Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes, which is shocking to me because I have never liked Warriors games. That is just not a genre that's ever appealed to me. The gameplay of just kind of mashing through hundreds of weak enemies never really stood out to me. I tried the old Fire Emblem one. I tried the old Hyrule Warriors, just couldn't get it to click, but something about that game just gets it right for me. I thought Three Houses was a great game. I think that was probably the more popular of the games, and I think a lot of people really liked that one. But Three Hopes took a lot of those characters, and it's an alternate universe. It's not a sequel or a prequel. It's like the same characters set in a different timeline, basically. I like the main character a lot more. I think Shez is a super cool, like, my unit kind of thing. She has a lot more personality than Byleth. As much as it worked for Byleth, like, story-wise, or like Link in some of the Zelda games where he's not as expressive, I really like the ones where he's, you know, more expressive. Three Hopes is a game that I think got a lot of that correct, while also having pretty cool gameplay in a series that I wouldn't have really expected it from with a Warriors game.
Hmm. I haven't played enough Fire Emblem, honestly. I've tried playing, what's the 3DS one that brought the franchise back?
Awakening?
I bought that. Awakening. I bought Awakening, and I tried it twice, but I kind of stopped playing. But I recently kind of checked out the Game Boy Advance one that they added to the NSO, and I was, like, pretty interested in that character, the female spear character, I believe.
Which game is this?
It's the one on Game Boy Advance, and it has, like, I think there's, like, a fun fact here where, like, this character is her voice actress is the same person who voice acts Kirby.
Oh, cool. We'll see. Yeah. Is that Sacred Stones? I don't know the old ones as well.
Yeah, sorry. I'm a little less familiar one. I think some of them I don't know if they all even came to the US, but there's one that's definitely on the NSO right now. And it is, oh, here it is. She's on the cover of this one. It's called The Blazing Blade.
Ah, yeah. Okay, that's, oh, is that Lynn's game?
Lynn, yeah. I liked her. I was like, oh, I like this lady. I like Lynn.
She seems really cool. I have not played that one. I've wanted to get more into the old ones. The thing is, as much time as I've put into being good at fighting games, I'm very bad at Fire Emblem games. So the old ones are often a little too hard for me. But definitely they're all like really... Fire Emblem has a lot of really interesting stories and characters in it that I have always been very attached to.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. So I'm guessing like even if one maybe doesn't work for you, there's so many with such a variety of cast of characters that there's got to be like kind of a Fire Emblem for everyone, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think Three Houses / Three Hopes really stands out as the best like with characters. Okay. I loved Awakening as well. I'm also a big Fates fan, which is maybe less popular according to a lot of people. But I play Corrin in Smash Bros, and I really like the Fates games as well. But Three Houses just has, and therefore also Three Hopes, just has like such an incredible cast of characters. There's so many main characters with so much like backstory and so much to them. It's really cool to me to have that many characters that are like so in depth in one game.
That one's on Switch, correct?
Yeah, those are both on Switch.
Okay.
Yeah, I have Three Houses, and I haven't started it yet, but that's another one that I do want to get to at some point.
Not enough time for all these RPGs, right? That are so long.
That's the thing with JRPGs, they're so good, but they take so many hours, and
you gotta make a short one.
Yeah.
It's like sitting down with like a long novel or something, where you're like, eventually I'll get through this.
Yeah.
But it's not something to be done with in a few weeks.
Yeah, there's just not enough time. That's
Man, they gotta make some shorter ones for the people who want like a story-driven game but just need like 20-30 hours, you know, like Mario RPG style. You know?
I do have a recommendation for that length, actually. There's a great little game called I Am Setsuna. That was it's on the Switch. It might also be on PC and other consoles. But that was a super cool RPG. It took me about 20 hours start to finish. Nothing outstanding in terms of like the combat and the systems. It was but pretty standard Final Fantasy style, like straightforward things. But I thought it had a really fascinating premise. Like just one of those games where right from the beginning, I was like, whoa, how does this work? And stuck with it. And yeah, it was super quick, but really interesting story with a lot of like cool characters in it.
Nice. I'll check that out.
Yeah, come for the Kirby Fighters 2 discussion. Stay for the RPG recommendations.
Yeah.
I had one other question for you about other games, which is, so I know you're a Honda player as well.
Yeah.
Right, in Street Fighter 6. And I was curious what you look for in a main. Because like Bomb is so different from like how you play that compared to the full contact of the Honda headbutt just oppressing the opponent in Street Fighter 6.
So it's hard to kind of quantify the characters that I look for in fighting games because they're very different. And it's hard to really put one qualifier on them. But I would say one of the big things is that my two favorite archetypes of characters are often either zoners or grapplers, which is really funny because those are like polar opposites. Zoners being like Bomb, characters who are setting up a lot of stuff on the screen. This is also like Axel and Guilty Gear, who I play in basically all the games. And then grapplers are the ones who want to get in your face and command grab you and do a lot of damage really quickly. So Honda appeals to that side of me. My characters tend to either be super complicated or super simple. Again, there's not a lot of in between for me. So like my favorite fighting game character of all time is Painwheel from Skullgirls. She is quite possibly one of the most complicated characters ever created. But another of my favorites is Honda throughout the Street Fighter series, who has never had a thought in his life. it's hard for me to really pin it down because it's really... Like, it varies so wildly for me as far as what I find compelling. But I really like to take super complex characters and learn all the ins and outs of them, or play, like, the simplest, most straightforward characters I can find and just try to outsmart people.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah, I think sometimes playing against your type can be exciting, where I tend to prefer zoners, but then I'll spend more time with, like, a Rushdown character or something. I'll be like, oh, this is just such a different way to play. Now it makes the game mm-hmm. feel new and exciting. And I'm reminded, like, oh yeah, this is why people play these other characters too.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you'll pick up a grappler or something. You'll be like, oh wait, this is actually fun.
Because
now the whole
yeah.
meta is different.
Yeah.
I like playing as a Jury.
Jury's
I don't know
a super
what she
interesting
is.
Character. Yeah, she's I would call her more of an all-arounder. She's not really, she's a rushdown character, I guess, but like she's got a little fireball. It's not great for like fireball purposes, but it lets her cover her approaches. I would qualify as a rushdown. She's got the best drive rush in the game in SF6. My second character has been Cammy, who is super against my type, mm-hmm. but I play Cammy like throughout the Street Fighter series. Cammy and Honda have been my characters through all the games that they're in Street Fighter. And Cammy goes like super against everything I play. I just really like her. But
she's
cool. is full out rushdown, a lot of like quick, fast, low damage options, looping them into themselves. Like her goal is not to kill you in one hit, it is to get in your face and just never let you leave. And it's fun playing like that. It is definitely overwhelming for for me sometimes, because I am used to either someone like Axel, where I'm trying to keep people away from me all the time, or someone like Honda, where I'm like, all right, I got in, time to die. And that's it. But there is definitely some value in kind of going against your usual style. It can be a lot of fun.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Winters. I really enjoyed learning more about Kirby Fighters 2. It definitely makes me want to go back to the game again.
Mm-hmm.
Any last things you want to share before you go, or maybe information on where people can find you online?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So you can find me online. I'm mostly on Twitter at Winters_FGC. The Kirby Fighters scene is all centered in the Kirby Fighters 2 Discord, which you can probably find it if you just Google it, but I can post a link somewhere or send one to you if you want to post it somewhere. We are pretty easy to find, and we have a huge community of people who still love the game. So if you're interested in Kirby Fighters, come check out the Discord and give it a shot. And if you're interested in fighting games, go for it. Try to play them. Try to get better. Fighting game scenes do not care if you are good at the game. They just care if you want to improve. And there are tons of people all over the world who are happy to help people improve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say that even if people don't necessarily want to improve, they're still fun to play casually.
Oh, absolutely.
Too. Yeah. Well, that'll close this episode of Kirby Conversations, but we will be back again in another 2 weeks. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
Kirby Conversations is a production from me, Sean Douglas, Kai, Captain Dangerous Parker, and Bridget. If you enjoyed this show, please subscribe in your podcast player for a new episode every 2 weeks. For Kai's photography, Bridget's video game content, and regular updates about this show, you can also follow us on social media through the links in the episode description. We especially hope you'll join us on Blue Sky, Threads, and Instagram. Our theme music is the song Winds of Change by Megan Kellow, in a new arrangement from Duncan Pixel T Smith. And our show art is by DJ at @drawing_lemons_z on Instagram. Kirby Conversations also has a Patreon, where patrons can receive bonus content, deleted scenes, and other rewards, including games and merchandise. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back again soon with more Kirby Conversations. Yeah, when you're so used to fighting from far away and then you get up close and it's suddenly like, oh man, now I gotta know the frames. Like,
yeah, like now I'm supposed to be here.
Can I do that? I'm so used to just being able to do things and have no accountability.
Yeah.